Okay, we're about 3 minutes away. I'm going to go ahead and prepare the live stream. If anyone needs to test their microphone or camera, feel free to do so now. Okay, we are almost ready. I'm still preparing the live stream. Stand by. Okay.
All right, good morning, board members and those who have joined this meeting virtually. We welcome you to the State Board of Education virtual special meeting, which is scheduled today, Thursday, May the 27th, 2021 at 9:30 a.m. Let's begin with a roll call, please. Ms. Cheeto?
Estella Hernandez.
Here.
Carlisha Williams-Bradley.
Here.
Bill Flanagan.
Here.
Brian Bobeck. Brian Bobeck. We'll come back. Jennifer Mennies.
Here.
Trent Smith.
Here.
Brian.
Sorry, I'm here.
Superintendent Hoffmeister.
Here. Thank you. All right. We have a quorum. Board members, we have very limited time with our board member, Carlisha Bradley, who is traveling and is on a layover right now. So we are going to make one adjustment to the agenda and move, entertain a motion to item 6D, which is a discussion and possible action to move into executive session to discuss regarding the resignation of Brad Clark in his duties and employment to legal counsel to the State Board of Education. Is there a motion to move into executive session?
I move.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Excuse me. Mr. Flanagan?
Yes.
Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right. Thank you very much, board members. And you have a link to executive session, so we will see you there in just a moment. All right, as board members are coming back, I'll give a moment for everyone to get in position. Thank you for your patience. Just one moment, we'll see everyone. And then entertain a motion. There we are. Yes, Mr. Flanagan, I'm looking for just a moment. One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Still need Mr. Flanagan. Let's go ahead. Let's have a motion to return from executive session into regular session.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second.
Who's second?
Ms. Bradley.
Ms. Bradley.
All right, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez.
Here.
Ms. Williams-Bradley.
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan has not returned. Mr. Bobeck.
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right. Thank you. And board members and to the general public, we have, it does show that there are some people waiting in the waiting room. So maybe there could be Mr. Flanagan, I'm not sure. But we did not take a vote. There was no action taken during executive session. And there is no action to take. However, if there are any comments at this time, I do want to defer. I know that Ms. Bradley has limited time as well, and I'll let you speak if you care to.
Well, I just publicly wanted to share, Brad, my appreciation for your role as our legal counsel on the Board of Education and the time that you have spent tirelessly and at times thanklessly supporting us on this journey. I appreciate your integrity and the ways in which you lead with students at the center. And it's just been an honor to be able to work with you in this capacity and look forward to the ways in which you're going to support our work in the State Department in the future.
I just also want to thank you. We are grateful for your leadership and service and look forward to our next chapter, but we are we have a great debt of gratitude for all of your leadership and work. And because we did get some questions when people saw the agenda, you're not going anywhere. Brad Clark remains as general counsel for the State Department of Education, and we have an enormous amount of work with the new tranches of federal funds and regulations that go with that, as well as a host of other duties. So we are grateful for that. Any further comment before we move on?
I just briefly, Brad, we've been on the phone at 5 a.m. and at midnight and all things in between. You're always, have always been available to us as a board. And I know we have a lot of questions a lot of times. So I appreciate everything that you've done and will continue to do.
Brad, I want to say that you have been, you are my friend and will continue to be, and appreciate you very much and all that you do. I know that with the workload and this, like Joy said, this isn't goodbye, but that as so many things coming out of 2020 and into 2021, it's a new future. It's going to be look a little different, but we're certainly looking forward to a lot of great work together going forward. So thank you again for everything.
All right, very good. Thank you, board members. Now, please turn your attention to item number 2, actually, where I have some information to share with you and a very special person to honor and bring before you, Kendra Mervelt, the Director of Training of the Office of Child Nutrition. And I believe you are on with us. There you are, Kendra. Thank you so much for joining us, board members. Please see Kendra there. Kendra started working at the State Department of Education in 2008 as an administrative coordinator. And in 2020, she was promoted to Director of Training in the Office of Child Nutrition. The nominator wrote this about you, Kendra. Over the last year, Kendra has adapted many trainings for child nutrition and has even added trainings for schools and daycares. I have heard nothing but positive feedback in the field regarding her trainings. Kendra is always willing to help and go beyond what is needed. She is very deserving of this award. And I have to just say that it's pretty incredible to think that just in the work with the pandemic alone, you can imagine the level of training and new information that all of our schools and daycares and various congregate feeding outlets needed. Just as an example of the additional amount of work and through these efforts that was accomplished, under a normal summer, in our summer feeding program, we have about 1.4 million meals served. Last summer, it was 13.6 million meals served. So we had greater need, and we are grateful for you, Kendra. Do you have any comments?
No, just thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. So it's great working here, and I love what I do. So I'm glad that we can help grow meals and have our participants get the information that they need.
Thank you so much, and we really appreciate your service. I'd also like to take a moment to recognize two employees for their longtime service to the state of Oklahoma. First, Sharon Wheeler has worked for the state for 30 years. She started her service at the Couch Cafeteria at the University of Oklahoma in 1979. Okay, I have to ask, Trent, did you ever eat in the couch cafeteria.
Yes, I did. And also, I feel really like a child at the moment because I was born in 1979. So, wow.
All right. Well, today, Sharon serves as an administrative coordinator with child nutrition programs here at the State Department of Education. And so I want to thank you, Sharon, for your dedication. And see if, I'm not certain if Sharon is with us or not, but she may be watching. And so I really do want to thank you. There's another, and that is Vicki Hale, and she has worked for the State Department for 25 years. Vicki began her state service at Oklahoma Panhandle State University in 1988. Today, Vicki serves as a coordinator too in the Office of Curriculum and Instruction at the State Department of Education. And we are grateful for your service, Vicki. Actually, my note now says that neither one of them are able to be on camera and with us today. They are busy doing the important work and duties that they need to take care of with some conflicts that occurred due to kind of the way we've scheduled things a little bit. So now I'm also very proud to report that staff members and the State Department of Education will be presenting at the American School Counselor Association's National Conference to be held this July in Las Vegas. Counselors nationwide submit presentations to ASCA in hopes of being able to be among the few to give presentations during that very prestigious event. To have two sessions this year led by our State Department staff is really a huge accomplishment. And I want to congratulate Sarah Kirk, school counselor specialist, who is also part of the ASCA National Board, Beth Whittle, Executive Director of Counseling and School-Based Mental Health Integration, Cheryl McGee, Program Manager for Project AWARE, and Dr. Shelley Ellis, the Deputy Superintendent of Student Support. Sarah will be presenting the session, Happy Counselors Change the World, which will teach counselors how to cultivate mindfulness within themselves before bringing the practice to an educational setting. And Beth and Cheryl will be presenting state-level student support programming, which will detail how OSDE's Office of Student Support developed a comprehensive school-based mental health plan and how the implementation of individual career and academic planning led to a study of hope and resiliency. And I know that Board Member Bobeck knows all about that work of Dr. Chan Hellman and the study of hope. So congratulations to all of them. Thank you very much. Okay, also on the remarks, I want to mention that earlier this month, we launched an umbrella recovery plan for pre-K through 12th grade students called Ready Together Oklahoma, an action plan for supporting students through the pandemic and beyond. Ready Together Oklahoma includes initiatives to bolster accelerated learning, strengthen instructional, and address social emotional needs and connection in the wake of COVID-19. It was developed with input from students, educators, and community representatives and other education stakeholders. We gather with lots of different partners at Cesar Chavez Elementary in Oklahoma City to announce our first step in the recovery plan, and we'd like you to take a look.
We are facing one of the greatest challenges to education in modern history, helping our students rebound after a global pandemic. And we are up to the task. Our new plan, Ready Together Oklahoma, is a roadmap for how we will use federal relief dollars to make strategic long-term investments in a well-rounded education for our kids. Ready Together Oklahoma begins with a focus on summer, which will be unlike any other. School districts and community partners are already planning summer enrichment activities to help students recover unfinished learning and provide support to those who have been disconnected.
My district is preparing summer school programs to help with our kids and those gaps that they might have. We are working on getting those kids plugged into summer schools.
It can be done when we all stand shoulder to shoulder like we are today in communities all across the state.
Now more than ever, we are giving our services free of charge to our school districts to make sure that the families and students that are not feeling fine mentally and socially and need that professional help, that they approach organizations like ours. I'm encouraging everybody to collaborate. This is the time to just be one.
Teachers have moved heaven and earth this year to connect with their kids.
It's amazing to me that in times of need, we all can come together. We all have the same goal, and it's to get through it. Everybody has stepped up in every single way, and they've pushed themselves past limits that they never knew that they could.
There are no quick fixes to a pandemic. Initiatives will be announced soon that will sustain support for students, and we are building a portfolio of guidance documents that will grow in response to school and stakeholder needs. Let's get started. We are ready,
together, Oklahoma.
All right, and with, let me just make sure, yes. My mic's on. We're ready to make another announcement. And you know, that really was about launching that summer and getting that started with our partners all around the state, but particularly Boys and Girls Club and those with the YMCA centers and many others are ready to serve in the summer. But now I'm excited to announce that we are investing $35 million of the state set aside for the state education agency to distribute of our emergency coronavirus relief funding in Oklahoma to the Oklahoma School Council Corps. And that, as you know, board members, is something you approved in our board budget, and we've done that for a few years in the past. But now we have the opportunity to actually jumpstart that. So the Oklahoma School Counselor Corps, consisting of hundreds of new school counselors, school-based mental health professionals, school-based social workers, and licensed recreational therapists. This grant opportunity will provide approximately 50% of the funds necessary for districts to hire school counselors and mental health professionals on a three-year cycle. So priority will be given to districts based on need. And by adding more counselors and school-based mental health professionals to our schools and districts, our districts will be better equipped to help address our students' academic needs by addressing those that all address the whole child. Social, emotional needs and connections matter, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic. So we are thrilled to finally get this initiative off the ground. And as I mentioned earlier to you in some of the remarks that I made about Kendra in our child nutrition program, almost 1,400 feeding sites across Oklahoma are preparing to welcome children for free summer meals. And it's important to know that children up to 18 years old can receive a combination of breakfast and lunch, or lunch and a snack at no charge at any of these sites. The summer feeding programs are a part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Summer Food Service Program, which we administer here at the State Department of Education. And this is part of the Summer Seamless Option Program. So last summer, as I was mentioning, between May and August, the summer feeding program served 13.4 million meals. I think I misstated that slightly. That number shows the need, likely exacerbated by the pandemic when compared to 2019. And by contrast, we really were only serving about 1.6 million meals in the summer. And that was after a whole campaign to try to get more of the word out and connection for meals for students. As you know, or may not be aware, we have more food insecurity than most other states among our children. And families can now find that feeding site near them during the summer, when already 60% of our kids in Oklahoma in our public schools qualify for free and reduced price lunch. And they have needs that continue into the summer. So the need is great, and we're working to address that. So if families want to find where the closest location is, they can simply go to a website called mealsforkidsok.org. And that is where we have the list of all of those locations and the hours and the meals they serve. So now, finally, before we go on, I do have one thing that's a completely different topic, but let me just ask you board members to any comments, any questions, any remarks that you want to make about any of that already set?
I got in late.
I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
Did we vote to go back in a regular session from an executive session?
Yes, we did.
Okay, that's all.
I'm so sorry that we did try to wait, hoping that we would be able to connect with you. Thank you, though. Any comments before I go on?
Yeah, I was just going to say, great job by State Department of Ed, your team. Phenomenal work, and love the videos each month that Carrie and you guys are putting together too. It's inspiring, so thank you.
Great, thank you for that. So this is, as you know, a historic week when, as we approach the next coming days, we are on the cusp of commemorating the 100th anniversary of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. And in light of this important date in Oklahoma and US history, I want to share an Elevate video about how Oklahoma educators are teaching students about the massacre after we successfully led the push to include it in Oklahoma's social studies standards for the very first time as a requirement to be taught and tested in those academic standards that were passed in through this State Board of Education and adopted by the legislature in 2019. So please take a look.
The 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre is the deadliest attack on a Black community in American history. There were 11,000 Black residents of the Greenwood District. At least 300 people lost their lives. This history continues to reverberate today. We need to teach it in our classrooms, just the same way we teach about the land run, we teach about the Trail of Tears. Those were seminal moments in Oklahoma history.
So look at the three or four that I gave you. Pick out one image that stands out to you that you want to learn more about.
They looked at some primary sources, they saw some visuals from video, and they really had a conversation about the events that took place in Tulsa in 1921 and how that impacts the communities today.
We can put ourselves on a path toward healing if we actually teach this history in ways that are accurate and authentic.
The kids are engaging in conversations within our classes. They go home and talk to their parents. It's empowering for the student to be able to share the story. And then it becomes a dinner time conversation at the table about injustices in our own communities.
When we were revising the standards in 2019, we felt like we needed to enhance those. We wanted to learn more about the Greenwood community. Of course, what happened during the time, but also what happened after, and how does it still connect to our community today?
The Oklahoma Tulsa Race Massacre Teacher Institute is a 10-week experience. Oklahoma teachers learn about this history from experts. They learn how to teach this history in ways that are culturally appropriate, culturally relevant, and responsible. We want them to teach it in ways that are going to have positive impacts on their classrooms, on their students.
I want them to think about how in the world could this have happened in Tulsa just 100 years ago, and what have we done as a society, as a people, to move past this, to learn from this.
They learn how to deal with difficult topics so that we can work together to make a better community.
All right, thank you, board members. So as we approach this date, obviously there's a lot of reflection. Even as a Tulsan, I can tell you, I did not learn of the Tulsa Race Massacre until I was an adult. Growing up in Tulsa, I still did not know. And that is different now. And it is something that is also going to be updated in the future as there is more information and as there will be additional updates and progress. But one of the things that I believe is also important to describe is the resiliency of the Greenwood District. And we see this as a time of honoring and commemorating the events and the people involved in that. All right. Okay, board members, if you are ready, we will look at item number 2B, which is an action item, discussion and possible action on the minutes of the April 22nd, 2021 special state Board of Education meeting. Is there a motion to approve those?
So moved. Sorry, couldn't find mute.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second.
All right, thank you, Mr. Smith. Okay, please call the roll.
Hernandez? Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Okay, great. And Mr. Bradley? Mr. Flanagan?
Yes.
Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Munnies?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. Thank you. Item number 3, public comment. And it's my understanding that we do have someone for public comment. Is that correct today or not?
We had someone requested, but I don't believe they've contacted us.
Okay. We will look forward to that at another time. Item number 4 is the consent docket. Board members, you have A through H. Are there any motions to entertain or questions?
I just had one question that I already sent to Mr. Piper. So I wondered, Brian, just for specifically around the abbreviated school day on Kellyville, the way that it looked to me in the application was that they were only giving 3 days of instruction, and that potentially, you know, they were saying that their day was 6 hours, but then also in the application, it said that they would only have students present for the number of hours that they need to receive their credit. So I just wanted some clarification around that. And I think you were able to get that.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Munnies, that was a good catch. And unfortunately worded poorly for what is actually happening is that that's a day that is spent at, not at home for the students, but that through independent study, as well as career exploration, they are on campus and they do have teacher present during that time. So that 6 hours would be included along with their time.
Okay. Thank you for getting that answer once again at the last minute.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity very much. Thank you.
I've got a question.
That's all I had.
Oh, sorry, Jim.
That's just all. Sir. That's all I had.
Yeah, and this is more informative for us, Ryan, but you know, coming out of 2020, now that we're several months into 21, are you seeing any increase in any of the applications of any particular type that I'm just curious?
Going into 2021, we have a few schools that have had an opportunity to work on that. The end of the year is very, very busy, obviously, for administrators. And moving in to this next school year, we will revert back to our normal procedure and policy where we would take those up until the October board meeting. So we have a few that will start in as of July in looking at for the next fiscal year. But not a ton as of this time. Good question.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Does that answer questions that you have?
Superintendent, board members, I just wanted to make a comment real quick. And Mr. Bobeck, directly to your point, I think it's an excellent observation and question you had just now, but I wanted to highlight it's item H under this consent docket on the Tri-City Learning Academy. I think as you mentioned just a moment ago, coming out of 2020 and the pandemic, it's an exciting time to maybe see new opportunities that are going on in the state. And this is one of them that I think deserves highlighting and recognizing. I think we have at least one of the superintendents of the participating districts with us today. I know that they are needing to move forward and wanting to kind of get going on this innovative idea, which is to serve collectively students virtually throughout a region. In general, that's the idea. And I think as the department is here recommending approval today, I want to be certain that I say this isn't suggesting or indicating in any way that the state board approval is required. In fact, we've had ongoing conversations with the districts and some of their partners about that, but seeing their need to move forward and begin the hiring and operational decisions that need to be made, we wanted to bring this innovative approach to you and continue that ongoing conversation and pathways into the future, which will begin shortly after this meeting, to sit down and look at kind of where cooperative agreements are in the state and how those have looked in the past and what they may look like going forward. So just wanted to highlight that for you, and happy to answer any questions. And again, I think the superintendents of the districts are with us.
Brad, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I meant to make a comment about that because I had the pleasure of going down and visiting with those founding superintendents, and Secretary Walters was there as well. I see Melanie getting on now. She had graciously invited us. And pardon me, I applaud what they're doing. I think it's fantastic coming out of a time where, in my opinion, a lot of districts kind of finger pointed, deflected, and looked at kind of blaming outside circumstances. But these folks found a way to rise up out of that and overcome and look for a creative way to keep their students in district and provide the much needed virtual option as well. So again, I applaud it, and I'm definitely going to be voting in favor of this. So thank you for bringing that up, Brad. I'd forgotten to mention that.
Dr. Howe, do you have any comment that you want to briefly share? And I appreciate your presentation in some meetings we've had as well.
I thank you for your support, Superintendent, and also for the support of the department, and thank all of the board members that for their support as well and their comments and recognizing the innovation. Our mission is solid, and that is to provide a high quality virtual education to our students and pool our resources to do that in the very best way possible.
I just, you know, I, when reading through it, you know, I felt the same way. I think if anything, if we can say anything good will come from COVID, I think it's different innovations of how, you know, school is delivered to children in the way that best meets their needs. So I love the innovation of seeing this and kind of pooling resources, and hope that we continue to see, you know, not only your school districts, but additional school districts to think outside the box. And what are some things that did go well, I guess, during this crazy pandemic year, and things that we should keep moving forward. So I appreciate your efforts to do that.
I just want to say that this is a good example of what school districts should be doing across the state of Oklahoma, working together when they can to deliver a high quality education to the student body. And so that's the only purpose we're here, is to deliver that high level of education and that high level of opportunity. And I want to thank you for stepping out in new arena, and your students will benefit in the future as a result of your courage.
I have to recognize our team as well. We have superintendents that are meeting to work on this effort. We have teachers that are eager and ready to serve in this capacity. So it's not just one person, it's a whole team approach.
Thank you so much. Board members, is there a motion to approve this docket?
So moved.
Second.
All right, Mr. Bobek, motion, and Ms. Estella, the second. All right, thank you. Ms. Cheadle, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan.
Aye.
Mr. Bobek.
Aye.
Ms. Moniz.
Aye.
Mr. Smith.
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister.
Aye. All right, thank you. That motion carries. Now item number 5, which is discussion of possible action on a recommendation to the Oklahoma Office of Management Enterprise Services, OMES, to award a testing contract for a nationally recognized college and career readiness assessment as a part of the statewide student assessment system. And we have the executive director for assessment with us today, Christy McCreary.
Okay, and I'm going to share my screen. Well, it gave me a pop-up that that's disabled.
There you are.
There we are. All right, you should be seeing my screen now. Good morning, Superintendent Hoffmeister and honorable members of the board. This item is being presented to the State Board of Education for review and possible action regarding the State Department of Education's recommendation for the bid award relating to the Oklahoma School Testing Program, College and Career Readiness Assessment, Grade 11 RFP Solicitation. The State Department of Education, in conjunction with OMES, recently released a solicitation for proposal for the state assessments for high school students. As you may already know, in 2016, the Oklahoma State Department of Education convened a 95-member Assessment and Accountability Task Force to evaluate the assessment program and the College and Career Readiness Assessments, or CCRA, were born from that recommendation. The task force and the Oklahoma State Department of Education, in response to overwhelming stakeholder feedback, recommended a system of assessments that included a nationally recognized and comparable assessment to use for accountability in high school. This recommendation was adopted by the State Board of Education, approved by the legislature, and signed by the governor. Therefore, when the solicitation for the CCRA assessments was released, it specified that the proposal must assess English language arts and math, as well as provide a career readiness indicator and college readiness benchmarks that reliably predict likely success in first-year college courses. In addition, these test results must be accepted by four-year colleges and universities. The proposal included a U.S. history and science test aligned to the Oklahoma academic standards. Districts have been very appreciative of the opportunity to provide a locally selected option, and we plan to continue to provide this option to districts. As a reminder, the locally selected option is a flexibility under ESSA that we have worked for with the USED so that districts are allowed to choose between the ACT and SAT for their state assessment. Once the solicitation was posted, the evaluation team was determined. 6 members were selected specifically for their assessment knowledge, standards and content knowledge, and their experience with assessment accommodations. Before receiving the proposals, the evaluation team signed non-disclosure agreements and conflict of interest statements and were trained in the evaluation process by OMES. Once each member had completed those requirements, they began evaluating the proposals. This evaluation was guided by a rubric that was developed based on the requirements in the solicitation. 2 proposals were received. They are identified as Proposal A and Proposal B. The evaluators rated 30 separate components for each proposal. This chart categorizes those components so that you can see the points awarded for each category. As you can see, the evaluation team awarded higher points to Proposal A for each category. Proposal B did provide the lower price, so was awarded more points for price. There is a more detailed price breakdown provided in the board memo for your review. After considering the scope of service and price, Proposal A was awarded a total of 875.82 points, while Proposal B was awarded a total of 632 points. Therefore, it is the recommendation of the State Department of Education and the Review Committee that OMES award the contract for products and services set forth in the solicitation to Proposal A, As such, State Board of Education action is requested.
Chris, do you have a question?
Yes.
I'm making sure I'm following and tracking what this third party will provide is when the state assessments, the kids take the state assessments in the spring, and they would be the entity that would manage that information. Am I getting that right or no?
I'm close. It is the vendor that provides that state assessment. So okay. Currently for our grade 3 through 8 assessments, we contract with Cognia to provide those assessments. Previously, well, really currently up until this contract ends, which is within the next 6 months, we contract with College Board to administer the SAT for our high school assessment. And with that, and we provide the ACT as a locally selected option. And with this contract expiring, it's time to have a new contract, new solicitation, potentially a new vendor. And that's what this is.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Christy, can I ask? Can I ask, will that locally, no matter which, you know, no matter what's selected here, will districts still be able to have that local control option to select either SAT or ACT?
That is our intent, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And that is built into our approved plan with USDE. That was, yes, so that remains the same, that option.
I just have a comment of, you know, I appreciate, you know, I was very supportive, not on the board at the time, but very supportive of moving to the ACT-SAT model for end of instruction for high school, or having that be the state test. I think it highly benefits kids to have a test that is meaningful and helps them move on in their educational pursuits. So I just, it's an opportunity to say I appreciate that we have that test in place.
I got a question about how many vendors were proposed, and if my understanding is correct, that Proposal A and Proposal B are from the same vendor. Can you explain the significance of that?
I am unable to disclose vendor names until the contract is awarded by LMES and Central Purchasing, but I can tell you that there were only two vendors there were two proposals that were presented in response to this solicitation.
I believe, can you hear me? Yeah, I'm not muted. I think that, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I think whoever is doing the system may have me muted. Because I don't have the mute button on my end, but you still can't hear me, but I do have.
No, we can hear you really well.
Okay. It's just I spoke up prior to Mr. Flanagan and you couldn't hear me. But at any rate, I have two questions for you. Thank you, Christy, for that presentation. And I appreciate the letter that was sent in our packet. And I have, on the information that we were provided, there's about $2.5 million difference between the two vendors. And I really wanted to know kind of what are the factors that kind of play into that big difference, which I know that you, the group was able to analyze each one and kind of give it a level of confidence per se on your end. But when does that 1 year start? And then I know you can't disclose the vendor names, but did we have any Oklahoma vendors that applied? Can you give us that information?
There were no Oklahoma vendors that applied for this. And as far as the cost differentiation, that is the cost that they provided for the total services. And as far as the breakdown of that and the differences in that, there is, that really comes from the proposals that were provided. And with that 30 component rubric that the evaluation team looked at, Proposal A scored higher in every single one of those components except for one.
And in the time that we've been doing this, and I guess I've raised this concern in the past, that I have not seen Oklahoma companies apply because, of course, you know, they are here in our state. They are fully entrenched and in the trenches on the Oklahoma academic standards. And I want to make sure that we're giving Oklahoma companies as well that opportunity to be able to get into providing and bidding for these proposals. So I just don't know, have we ever had any Oklahoma companies in the past apply?
That I can't speak to. I was not involved in any of the previous solicitations that went through with the Office of Assessments, and I don't know if any Oklahoma vendors provided proposals for that or not.
I can jump
specifically
in.
Brad, go ahead.
No, you're fine. Just say that as a part of the process, any vendor in the state of Oklahoma or nationally, and perhaps even beyond that, can register with the state of Oklahoma, and they get a notification when an opportunity to submit a bid arises. They then have a period. I think this one was open for 60 days, is my recollection. And so there is a process that all vendors, including some in the state of Oklahoma, have registered for and are aware of to get notification for that process. But as Christy said, there was not a state of Oklahoma hub type vendor that participated or submitted a bid on this one.
And I was just going to say, I mean, specifically around high school, I know we don't know what these proposals are, but really based on the criteria, the state test either has to be SAT or ACT, correct? So I just, you know, I think from an Oklahoma vendor standpoint, neither of them are, though I know they're both in the state, obviously.
Right.
And the way it's, I was going to just say, the way it's written, it always leaves open that if there should be another vendor beyond what we're all probably familiar with, they have an opportunity as well.
And this will start in 2022.
Estella, we can't hear you. I don't know why.
I don't have my mute
button. Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah,
it's just you're really
you. It's
quiet.
It's very faint. It's faint.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to confirm that year one is starting 2021, 2022, or when will this be starting once this is approved?
I'm sorry, Ms. Fernandez. Can you repeat that?
Which school year does it begin?
No, the question was what school year does this begin, if and when awarded?
Thank you. This would begin with the spring 2020 school year. So the next.
Would you want to think about that again?
Spring
what 20? Year?
Spring of 22.
22. Oh, okay, I heard 2020.
That's what I heard too.
It's like, we're still back in 2020. Okay. We want out. Right.
So if I may, to Mayor Flanagan's question, not to belabor this whole thing, I think this is great, a lot of work, thank you all. But what would be, I mean, I'm just trying to get my, so in theory, I know we can't get into the weeds, but in theory, one vendor could provide two different bids, kind of a better best scenario. Christy, is that possible? And is that could be what we're looking at here?
Honestly, I would have to defer to Brad on whether or not I am able to answer that question.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mr. Bobek, I think you're right. I think it's important to emphasize that there was no split bidding that went on here. That would not be allowable under state law. And the vendors are all well aware of that. Some variations among the different proposals that were submitted. I think you see that in the scoring and the evaluation, but that could be with any subcontractors that may be a part of a solicitation, just different structural type arrangements, all the way through the details. And I think you see that reflected in the evaluations.
Okay.
So in that slide that you see, where the various components of the rubric were described, there are, as Mr. Clark mentioned, there could be different subcontractors that are used to answer portions of the bid. And those would be lots of, just in general, when you're looking at different proposals, there's a difference sometimes in the platform something is on, or the scope, the ability to hit all of the requests of the proposal at different levels of satisfaction as well. And I think you can see those different online system requirements, support for the districts, what service is going to be provided there, materials, handling and scoring processes, program and project management arrangements that are given there. So all of that is evaluated by those with both content expertise that have been trained through the Oklahoma Procurement Act and the training of OMES as well. And then the recommendation goes to the state purchaser in OMES who actually makes the final decision.
Excuse me, Superintendent. I would like to point out that the solicitation did allow for a vendor to utilize a subcontractor for the U.S. history and science assessments. That was specified in the solicitation, that was allowed.
Awesome. Well, I, for one, and others are still discussing, but I was prepared to make a motion to approve if not. And so that I do make a motion to approve as requested to go with Proposal A.
Second.
Thank you. Is there any other additional comment or question? Okay. Seeing none, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobek?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. Thank you. That motion carries. Thank you for all the hard work of the evaluators and you as well, Ms. McCreary. Thank you. All right, item number 6. And here, board members, we will look at item 6A. Actually, item B is one that we're going to request to table for another day when they can be here. The Sovereign Community School could not be with us, and we would like to begin with item 6A, which is Uloga Talala Public Schools. Mr. Clark, would you introduce this item on Absolutely. The agenda?
Yes, thank you. The representatives of Uloga Talala Public Schools, I believe Tony Savington and their legal counsel, Matt Siren, have joined us here in the Zoom room, I guess, and are here to make remarks and answer any questions you all have as part of the ongoing probationary status of that district. They are voluntarily appearing, which is nice.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. I don't see Mr. Sappington in my screen, but I think he's with us and he should be joined by the soon to be superintendent, Dr. David Wilkins. And I know the board had some desire to meet Dr. Wilkins. And I think Mr. Sappington has a brief presentation of where Uloga is at currently.
Sure, good morning. I have Dr. Wilkins, our incoming superintendent, here with me in my office. And really, just to start out, at our last quarterly update, we were asked to expand our survey that we sent out. We did that to a different group this time. And again, we received a lot of positive feedback. So I feel really good about the strides and the actions that we've taken and where we are today. I know that if you look back since July 1 of last year, we've accomplished a lot. We've done everything that's been asked of us and much more. And so at this time, either Dr. Wilkins or I can answer any questions that any of you have.
If I can, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you should, please, sir.
If I can say, so I've been apprised of kind of where Ulugoi is by Mr. Siren and Mr. Sappington, and I reviewed kind of everything that's been done, everything that's been requested by the state board, and I want to commend, first of all, Mr. Sappington on the amount of work that he's done over the past year to address the needs and to address the requests of the state board, and also just to take a kind of a holistic look at the culture and at what has been done and what needs to be done here in the school. He's done a great job, and he has outlined all the things that he's done. He's gone above and beyond, I believe, what has been requested. We've discussed, he and I have discussed where we are now, where we go into the future as far as being proactive and then being also reactive if there are situations and kind of our plans in place. And we have a very solid plan to make sure that things move in the right direction here at Ulugoi.
Very good. I appreciate that. You take office, you take over in your new capacity on what day, sir?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What day do you take over as superintendent of Ulugoi?
Officially, it will be July 1.
July 1, so you're not quite in that place yet. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I've personally spoken, I haven't had a chance to share this with my colleagues, but with Robin Miller, who, of course, heads up Title IX for State Department of Ed, and stayed in close contact with Mr. Clark's office as well. I do appreciate, Tony, your efforts. You know, I'm going to be real candid with you folks that I still, because all this that happened under Tyson Tanner's leadership over the past 5 or 6 years, the environment that it created, which is obviously very destructive and hurtful to many, we take very seriously. I don't have the trust yet personally. I don't think some of my colleagues do yet either. I am very happy to meet you, David, and glad you're onboarding. But in those conversations with Robin and Brad Clark, I think that it's probably in everyone's best interest to go ahead and let you get seated in. And your next update will be in 90 days in August at our August meeting. And then we can review your accreditation status at that time. But I'm certainly hopeful that you guys have turned this around. I think time is on everyone's side, and particularly as we're watching over kids and their safety, that everyone on here would hopefully agree with that, that time will tell. So that's going to be my recommendation for us to continue to move forward to the next meeting in August and give you a chance to take over in July and come back to us at that time. I'm sure that you have, if you haven't already, David, you know, one of our requests was that senior leaders there, including your superintendent's position and the board, take all the Title IX training. So I imagine you've got that in the works. Am I correct? Or
yes, sir, we do. Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect.
I would like to echo Mr. Bobek's comments. I think that we're definitely on the right path, and it will take time. Only time will tell. We know that it's been years of this culture that was created in the school district, and in order to turn things around from that negative and toxic culture that led to what's happened there, it's going to take some time to turn it around. So I agree with you, Mr. Olbeck, that we need to wait and let time proceed and revisit it in a few months.
I just had a quick question for the incoming superintendent. I know, I believe at least you were previously in prior public schools, is that right? Is Yes. there anything that you bring with your experience, whether it's there or, you know, somewhere else, that you want to institute that may be different, and maybe you don't know yet, but you know, that may be different based on, you know, things that you've seen at other school districts that you want to bring in regard to this issue specifically. I was just curious if there's anything that you intend to kind of put in place from previous experience.
Yeah, so I've been at Pryor for the past 5 years. I was superintendent at Dewey Public Schools for 4 years before then. One thing that I've always done and I've always been is very thorough and very exact. I'm kind of a policy person. You plan out ahead what you're going to do whenever things happen. So whenever you're in that moment and things are emotional and things are moving fast, you have a plan in place. And so that's what we'll bring in with almost everything that we do. Mr. Sabington and I, again, we've already talked about, there's several things that that we will timeline out, that we will have, we'll have a solid plan and procedures in place for almost everything that we do. So whenever a situation does arise, we're ready to go, we're ready to tackle it, and we already know what we're going to do, as opposed to just being reactive and not functioning properly.
Thank you.
Well, we are seeing progress, and I appreciate that. And thank you very much for the work that you have been doing over these past weeks and months and period of time that we've been working together on this. And we're looking forward to your new leadership as well. And continuing to set a good foundation as you step into this position.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments, board members? All right. Thank you. Mr. Clark. Let's see.
Hi, Superintendent, as you mentioned just a few moments ago, the scheduling conflicts, the item under B requested to move that forward to June, and we have communicated, had conversations with the representatives of Sovereign, and that is the intended plan at this time. And so with that in mind, I would recommend that we go into executive session under item C for the reasons, purposes stated on the agenda.
5 minute break.
Yes, let's go ahead and make a motion to go into executive session. And when we get into that session, we can also take just a moment's break for you to take care of what you need, refill your coffee cup, and we'll get back here. Okay. Thank you. And is there a second?
Second.
All right, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobek?
Aye.
Ms. Menes?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right, thank you. We'll see you on the other side. All right, board members, we are back from executive session. Let's first have a motion, entertain a motion to come back into general session out of executive.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobek?
Aye.
Ms. Munnies?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister.
Aye. All right. Thank you. We are out of executive session. No decisions or votes were taken during that time. And at this time, we are Looks like completed all of item six for today. And now I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, Ms. Cheadle, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobek?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right, thank you. And board members, have a very good Memorial Day weekend as well. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks.